Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Well, like I said, welcome to the Spiritual Life Center experience, a little different this week. We never know what the adventures of life will bring us, but we know that behind all that we see, there's always some unfolding or evolving good, despite what our appearances may be before us. So today, our celebration of Sunday is a little bit different from the past. We're doing primarily online, and I know that you're watching. You may be watching on Facebook Live, or you may be looking at us on a YouTube channel. We have a few of our staff members here and volunteers. And so I guess we're doing like some of the talk shows. If you've been watching them at night, you know, they be coming on, and they have very few people in the audience. But the show goes on. God goes on regardless of what's happening around us. Somebody said that, well, you know, this is going to be a little different for you, James, because you know, you're not going to have anybody who's going to laugh at your jokes. And I said, I laugh at my own jokes anyway, so it's going to be okay. We don't need a laugh track at all. But anyway, it's great that we have the opportunity, the technology today, that we can connect with each other regardless of having the ability to come in person. And so, like I said, subscribe and like our Facebook channel. You know, when I come up with these talk titles, you know, I usually come up like 2-3, sometimes a month before the day that, you know, I'm actually giving them. So when I give them, I have no idea what the day is going to be like, the day that I'm going to speak. So today I was supposed to be talking to your right to edit. And it's about reinterpreting our past experiences or events and so that we can see them from an empowering perspective. And I thought maybe a better title for today, as things have been kind of changing very rapidly, how to dynamically adjust to rapidly changing and unexpected circumstances that take place in our life. So we're not re-editing or reinterpreting any kind of past experiences, but we're kind of reinterpreting, editing in the moment experiences to empower us. And so we can demonstrate the resurrecting power of the Spirit of the living God that is with us all of the time. But there's a prayer that I had sent out earlier this week with our notice that I'd like us to hold in consciousness. Because, you know, no matter what we're going through, we know that prayer is the language that really provides a solution, because all of our challenges, no matter what they may be in the outside world, all of our challenges may be mental, emotional, physical, psychological, health-wise, but all solutions are spiritual. And what prayer does, it begins to raise our vibration to be one with the presence and the power and the love of God, where health is present, where wholeness is present, where vitality is present, where truth is present. So I just invite you to take in these words for a few moments as I say this affirmation. We are in the presence of pure spirit. Our entire planet is immersed in the truth that life, love, health, wholeness is our very essence. We radiate our wholeness as we draw on the only source of life, the Spirit of the living God. Spirit pours its quickening life into each individual and our planet. as we turn our attention to Spirit's healing presence. We trust Spirit to restore us to harmony and health. And everything not in alignment with that harmony and health returns to the nothingness from which it has come, never to exist again. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen. So we breathe in those words right now. And as we take in those words, as we breathe in those words, we feel a sense of expansion that's taking place in our soul. Because no matter what's going on in the outside world, individually or collectively, we can breathe in that energy, that consciousness, those words, and feel the spaciousness of the presence of God that's there. And as we do, the dust and the debris of our world, the things that goes up and down, they begin to fall away. No matter how powerful the appearances may be, no matter how much fear-based there may be behind it, we feel that presence within us. You know, in prayer, what we do is affirm the truth. And what we're affirming the truth about is our real nature and being as children of God. We're affirming who we really are. This feeling that we get is really connecting with this eternal presence. There's a connection there, an awareness that we're not worried about what's going to happen. Not worried about what's going to happen this morning, the next day, or the next week, or the next month. Because when we're in prayer, we're not trying to make anything happen. We're simply getting in tune with the unchanging something that is always happening. So we can say, as they often say in the silent unity prayers, if anybody calls silent unity, the first thing they say when we have that prayer collectively is that it's not I, but the Christ within that does the work. It is the Christ presence, the God presence, the spiritual presence that is doing the work all the time. And it is always with us. And so it's in this awareness that we, you know, have that lily of the field consciousness. We hear that statement, consider the lilies of the field, they toil nor spin not, but Spirit is always taking care of them. Spirit is always taking care of us. And so we're taking no thought at all about how we're going to take care of ourselves, although we do our things that we need to do on the outside. We don't project any negativity into the future. We're simply aware of the eternal presence of God that is taking place right now. We are built for this. That's why Ralph Waldo Emerson said something to the effect that we're endogenous beings as opposed to indigenous. You know, a plant is indigenous if it can only grow in one environment, if it can only grow in that place that's natural to it. But as endogenous beings, we take our environment with us. We are both the environment and the life itself. So our inner work is really about creating the circumstances in our life that we want to have reflected and show up in our world. So we want to remind ourselves there's something within us that can never be hurt, that can never be harmed, that can never be endangered in any way. It is that spiritual presence that is always present, regardless of the changes in the outside, regardless of the unexpectancy that sometimes life throws us, as we're going through right now. And we're experiencing such a time as the world is moving through and navigating through this COVID-19 virus. And this is something that's not been totally unanticipated, but maybe we didn't get prepared for it as we could have. You know, I think Bill Gates gave a talk on TED Talk 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know why I remember this, but he was talking about a pandemic that we may not be ready for. So people already knew about it, but be that as it may, now is the time that we can lean on and rest assured why we say God is good all the time. All the time. And all the time, God is good. Because there's an unchanging something we can call on. And we ask, what does that really mean? You know, if you listen to some people's conversations out in the world, you know, some things you see online, they say, oh, this is the ends of time, that God is mad at the world, and this is kind of a get back to us now. Well, I will say this, there is no God like that. No God like that. You know, even in our own works, we may be unduly criticized. You know, they say those new thought, spiritual life center, new age people, they're a cult, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. They think they can just be happy all the time and don't understand that life is all about. They just don't know. But we understand on a very deep level, on a very profound level, there's always going to be ups and downs in our human experiences. There's going to be things that happen that we don't like sometimes. They're not going to go our way. There'll be phenomenons of things that constantly change, and it's, nothing is really static. And everything that happens, even if we don't like it, there's something from us to learn from it so we can grow and evolve spiritually. Because we know that plans do not always go the way that we like it. We know that. It's not like we're out of our minds. But we have a deep and a very abiding understanding that God is good because God is changeless. And nothing, no matter what it is, can stop that presence. And our tune is, key is to get in tune with that so that we begin to get back in balance. And when we're in tune with that presence, regardless of what we're going through, regardless of what we're growing through, if we align with our true self, we discover that we are powerful beyond measure. Not our individual self, not from an ego perspective, but that part of us that is God in us is powerful beyond measure. So we're going through a challenge right now worldwide with this coronavirus. And of course, you know, we want to stay centered and not panic because we want to draw a line between preparedness and panic. There's some people who want to be panicking. We don't want to be of that crew. We need to bring a whole different energy field so that we begin to lift the entire planet in which we live. And so when we prepare, we do all the tangible things that we are guided to do by the Center for Disease Control, the World Health Organization, you know, from guidance from our government officials that are leading us onward. But our focus should be on inward as well. We must have our spiritual preparedness. And we ask, what is it that we can do? Well, first of all, we don't want to get caught up in worry. Contrary to popular opinion some places, worry is not a spiritual practice. It's not a spiritual practice. You know, during these times, we want to remain prayerful. And when we're in this prayerful consciousness, it keeps us out of stress. And when we reduce our stress, it reduces our susceptibility to any contagion that may be going on around us. You know, I think this one practice is not to get snagged and worry. One of my mentors told me many years ago, one of my spiritual teachers, he said, well, if you're concerned about something, he said, well, think about what the worst thing that can happen. And I said, I don't really want to think about that. But he said, figure out, well, this might happen. And then you figure out a way to deal with it because there's always a solution to even the most challenging problem that we have. Or we can say, as one candidate said when she was running for office, you got a plan for that. You can focus then on what you want without worry about worry raising its head in the background and distracting us away from where we want to go. Because we've got a plan for that. We got something we can deal with it. And we can focus on visioning and working for our best future. I think one of the things that we want to do in addition to that is to focus on centering practices. And this will further release any remnants of concern, or at least we can manage it. You know, some of these practices I learned from the Buddhist tradition. I don't know if they're necessarily Buddhist, but that's where I learned them. And one of the things they said, when you have a challenge coming before you, feel a sense of anxiety or worry, he said to sit and sit down for a moment, and then simply put your hand on your heart and remind yourself and to hold all of the things that you are concerned about and said, let me hold that. Hold it with a tender compassion. And when we do, we bring an element of compassion because as human beings, we will go through difficult times. And then say, let me hold myself, let me hold my concerns. Let me hold my parents, my friends, who may be vulnerable. May they be safe and well. May we hold ourselves and our world with that tenderness and compassion and remind us that we can hold things with kindness, even those things that we don't necessarily want to have happen. We can hold that kindness, that energy field. And we don't want to judge ourselves or anyone else for any anxiousness that they may have or we may have at times. We're just saying, thank you for seeking to take care of me, divine presence, whatever that may mean for you. And then they said one of the next things we do is notice and simply say, in this moment, I'm okay for now. I'm okay. You know, at this moment, most of us are okay. And we're probably going to continue to be okay. And oftentimes we bring in the worry because we're thinking about something in the future that will never happen. So we're saying, my parents are okay now. My children, if we have them, are okay now. And like I said, we don't say we don't prepare and do the things in the outer to protect ourselves. But the whole idea is to live where we are and come back and say, I'm okay. And we feel ourselves rooted in the earth. We feel ourselves rooted with that something that is anchoring us. And I think to further ground ourselves, you know, one of the teachers said, and to root yourself in the earth, to simply go outside and maybe find a tree and stand next to it and sense how it goes into the earth and how the tree, through wind, through storm, loses its leaves and regains them and how life renews itself. And stand with that tree. And know that you too can root yourself in the earth. You can stand in the winds of change and feel grounded, feel steady and flexible at the same time. Find those qualities within yourself. And take any images of fear and anxiety and thank them for alerting you and protecting you and serving their purpose. But what you can do is take those fears and anxieties and place them in a bowl. Or some order, some other form, you know. I have at my house something called a God can. It's a can, and it got God's name on it, and it's the God can. And so, you know, we can alter our mind, whatever we want. We can have our own altar in our minds. You know, we could have the Buddha or Krishna or Kuan Yin or Mother Mary or Jesus the Christ or Yoda, or we can use our superhero, whatever that may be. Create our own altar. And write all our concerns down on a piece of paper and feel all the energy of all those fears in our body and emotions of it, all the stories that we have that are behind it, and then fold up that piece of paper and place it at the lap of that altar. Place it at the lap of Kuan Yin. Place it at the lap of Yoda. Place it at the lap of Captain America, whatever the case may be, and say, you hold these now. I will do what I can. I'll take care of my friends and family and parents and children. I'll take care of myself, my community. But I let you carry the worries and the fears. And I'm going to do it from a place of centeredness. I'm going to do it from a place of courage. And what will happen, any sense of anxiousness will be reduced. Because we're practicing with the Stoics. And the Stoic philosophy says a principle to reduce any anxiousness that we have. Because we know that there's a distinction between what we can control and what we cannot control. And this is where the serenity prayer comes into play. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And we focus on that which we can do. And once we do that, we let some altar handle all the rest. And we become centered and calm. And there's a shift in our awareness. We get into that spacious place, that vastness, that steadiness, and we meditate on that. We recognize the power of that. And we also recognize the power of two or more coming together. You know, there's a statement in the Bible, there were two or more gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of you. And I always interpret that to mean that there is the spiritual power that it's extreme, that it increases itself, becomes more powerful when two or more come together in an agreement. And so what we can do during these interesting times is link our spirit with like-minded people across the planet who are steady and calm. And there are lots of those folks, and they're finding their way to navigate through the challenge that we're going through. Many of them are on the front lines as doctors and nurses and scientists and caretakers. We link their consciousness with them. We link our groundedness with them, our centeredness with them, and everyone's is increased because we're all of that same energy field. We're all of that same consciousness. But we have to practice. You know, because we're all, you know, that's why I guess they call it practice and not perfects. You know, they're practices. Because, you know, sometimes when we do it, we're on point. And then maybe we lose it a little bit because, you know, we listen to, you know, one person's conversation a little bit too long and we lose it again. So, but we get back on point. We get back on point. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. Keep coming back until that dominates our awareness and it dominates the consciousness and the awareness of the planet in which we live. And there's another practice to keep us centered along the way that I kind of mentioned. We don't want to get trapped in the news cycle. That'll throw us off every time. You know, what you do, you know, you keep up, make sure you know what's going on. But after a while, you know, once you've heard it once, you don't need to keep hearing over and over and over and over again. I don't need that anymore. So sometimes we might want to just go on a news fast. You know, it'll be there next day. Believe me, if you miss something important, somebody will let you know. You know, if you need a news fix, just, you know, maybe in the grocery line and and ask the person next to you, anything interesting happened today in the news? I haven't been able to check the news. And, you know, you'll find out right away. You'll discover that most of the daily news has no relevance to our life at all. We have enough. We want to give our connection and our attention to the presence of God. That's the good news. That's where the news that we need to get our information from. And we'll be able to keep our consciousness free of unnecessary clutter. We can see the truth that the Spirit of the living God is always on the field. Always. We know that despite how things may look at any given moment, for ourselves, for our planet, we remember that every obstacle, every challenge, every adversity can be turned into a triumph. Because I like to say, behind the pictures that we see, there is some unfolding good. We may not know exactly what it is in the moment. Because the reality is no one goes through life without experiencing some adversity in one form or another. It's part of the journey. It's part of the journey of the individual experience and the collective experience. And I think it's always there for us to learn and to grow into our best that we can be. So we can turn what seems to be a challenging situation, maybe an impossible situation from the human point of view, in an opportunity for greater good to take place and to us to triumph. You know, there may be a story you're familiar with about Thomas Edison, one of the greatest inventors of the 20th century. And a little over 100 years ago, he had a lab in New Jersey, and it went up in an explosion. And the fire consumed every single one of his buildings and all the village, all the buildings in his in the factories that he had. And they said that 8 fire departments had to come from all different jurisdictions to that scene to try to bring it under control. But they couldn't put it out right away because it was a chemical fire, very resistant to being put out easily. And many years later, his son, Charles Edison, wrote an article about the day of that fire. And according to his son, Charles, as hundreds of bystanders and demoralized employees watched the fire, Thomas Edison, with giddy excitement, said to his son, "Go get your mother and all of her friends. They will never see a fire like this again." And his son was stunned by his dad's reaction. And Thomas Edison simply said to Charles, "It's all right. We just got rid of a lot of stuff we just don't need anymore." Needless to say, that was an unexpected reaction from Thomas Edison, from most people who may have been in his position, particularly in light of the fact that, you know, Edison was very up in years at the time and pretty much had lived a full life. And for him to rebuild what he had done in today's dollars was going to cost $25, $30 million. And his insurance didn't cover anywhere close to that. But he did rebuild. He turned his setback into a triumph and thrive like he never did before. Many people would have gotten upset, angry, dismayed, discouraged. They probably wouldn't want to get up out of the bed in the morning. I probably would have just thrown the covers over my head. I said, "I can't face another day." But Edison didn't do that. Eventually, he was able to overcome a daunting obstacle. And I realized that one reason he was able to triumph in this seemingly impossible situation was his perspective. Perspective is everything. And he demonstrated how we can see a particular situation, and how we see that situation determines what it is for us. You know, in the Hebrew Bible, in the book of Genesis, it reminds us that we have the ability to name things. Among other things, it's telling us we have dominion over the thoughts that move through our awareness, the perceptions that we have about life, the perceptions that determine our mental state. Because we are meaning makers. So we ask what we're going through, what meaning are we going to make out of that? We have the ability to make meaning out of any situation and induce a favorable state of mind. And that state of mind opens up to new possibilities. And when we do, we break open an obstacle that we may be facing in our life, on the planet, and begin to realize that obstacle begins to lose power over us because we have the ability to see it from a higher point of view. You know, many times our mind chooses the most ominous explanation of alternatives or empowering perspectives. And that's very easy to do. I think it's part of our survival mechanism to look at things and see what's the worst thing that can happen. And we needed that to survive in our world. But if we do that only, we miss the opportunity to turn a trying situation into a triumphant one. We can choose how we look at things and what perspectives we interject to any adversity that we face, including what we may be facing right now. We don't necessarily change the facts of the obstacle. We don't change the facts of the situation itself. In Edison's case, the fire happened. That was a fact. You know, the coronavirus is happening. That's a fact. But we retain the power over our perspective, which enables us to change that adversity on how it appears to us and how it appeared to him. A changed perspective can cut our obstacles and adversities down to size. And what looks like a tombstone can be turned into a stepping stone for greater good or even a triumph. We hold that perspective. He held that perspective. And we can do the same. Peace and blessings to you.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center.